Time for another Doghouse. Stick around. We're about to kick off the show. All right, folks, welcome to another show of the Doghouse. We get ready to talk about the news of the week and also the racing that took place this weekend, which I think we're going to have some interesting conversation. Do want to mention that if you have been looking for us on the stream, there is no more stream anymore. We are strictly video and podcast because that's what how we want to do it. Right, Phil?
Yeah, because I'm just done. We're tired.
We're done.
F you. If you're not happy with how we're doing things,
the way
F
we
you.
Roll.
That's right.
I'm done with
it. If you're not happy with things, you can let us know by going to www.patreon.com/NTN paying us for us to care.
Every $7 a week, an episode donation, we'll take that as a you're not happy. And if you do $7 an episode, we'll know that's how you vote that you're not happy. Yeah. Taking that right out of like what Cam modeled. Seven tokens is so appreciation.
Yeah, if you donate to the show, you have a right to complain. Otherwise,
you don't.
Go you pound really sand, don't. Right?
Yeah,
but if you do, yeah, we.
If you do pound sand,
if you pay, we won't care.
Yeah,
we won't care.
Hey, something else we should mention.
Well, do you care if they do pay?
Yeah, I do care. If you pay, I care. If you don't pay, I filter it out.
Listen, if you donate to Patreon, Ken answers your email. If you don't donate to Patreon, it comes to me.
There you go.
And then it's all love and war. Hey, we should mention that next weekend, Ken and I will be at Barber Motorsports for Moto America.
Next weekend? You mean the weekend following?
Well, not this weekend, coming up next weekend.
Okay. Well, that's always confusing because it's a vernacular thing.
All right.
He's speaking New York.
The weekend of the 14th, 15th of June, we will be at Barber Motorsports Park in Birmingham, Alabama.
And this time I won't be a donk. And I will make sure that if you are tweeting or Facebooking at me, that I will respond and realize that it's because you're there. Because I screwed the pooch at VIR.
I bet he'll still be a donk.
I probably will be. But we were thinking about maybe doing a tweet up. So follow, if you're going to be there, tweet at us, Doghouse Pack or Shippoint Mag or Ken, what's your Twitter?
Yeah, I never look at it.
He never, or at, I never look at it.
You can use,
and that's Doghouse, DAWG.
Yeah, Doghouse Radio is the Twitter.
Doghouse Radio is the Twitter.
And that's probably your best way to get me is at Doghouse Radio.
Yeah, and do that, and let us know that you'd be interested in doing a tweet up, because we're thinking we'll probably do that maybe Saturday or something like that, depending on everything's going on. Friday, we're going to be busy getting interviews and stuff again, so
probably
Saturday would be the best day, and then you'd be there for the races or Sunday. Maybe we'll do it Sunday between the Superbike races.
Well, we'll see how it works out, because we may be dead from Schwitzen to death after Friday.
I'm not sure what Schwitzen is, but that's definitely why we'll be dead.
You can't say that either, can you?
Schwitzen?
Schwitzen, there you go.
Whatever.
You should know. You've got all those Nazis in the family. That's a German term.
Hey, that's
allegedly.
Never mind. I was going to say allegedly, but that's actually true.
It's true.
So, yeah, we'll be down there. We hope to see a bunch of you guys down there, especially, you know, VIR. We got to see people we knew and stuff like that, and that's kind of thing. Birmingham's kind of new territory for us. We know some of you guys are out that way. So if you're out that way and you are going to the race, let us know.
Yeah, rumor is it.
We'll let you cook us lunch.
Or bring us lunch.
Or bring us lunch, right. You can buy.
I don't care who cooks.
Yeah, I really don't care who cooks.
Right, yeah.
You can bring us lunch.
If you see Phil, you definitely understand that he doesn't care who cooks as long as there's food.
Yeah, and we're going to do some, obviously we're going to do more interviews and video down there. We're going to spend some time at the Barber Motorsports Museum.
I'm looking forward to that.
I am looking forward to that. That alone makes the trip worthwhile, but also watching the race. And we just keep your fingers crossed, everybody, that we have good weather.
Yeah, you know, what I was thinking after watching the races this weekend, or at least the highlights of the races this weekend, because I couldn't find the races this weekend, was that Moto America should be paying the Doghouse to be there, because the only sunny weekend they had has been VIR when we're there.
I know.
So it's been quite wet.
It has been very wet. So yeah. I'm thinking if it's sunny this weekend, I'm going to tell Wayne Rainey, look, for $5,000 a race, we'll show up and give you good weather.
Right. We should let them know, too, that the reason they have rain and all the other ones because
is us crying.
Because you're back, you're back here doing a rain dance, right?
That is true.
A remote rain dance.
The remote rain dance. And it's more effectful now that I live out in the mountains.
That's right. That's right.
It's like, wow, he's at higher elevation and closer to water, and I don't know.
I bet you it's because he thinks he's doing it in the nude now is why it's working.
Yeah, that too.
Oh, that's scary.
Warren stopped over to watch.
Oh, he did, huh?
No.
He like he was cheering, throwing dollar bills at me. It was kind of fun.
I heard Warren shaved your ass. That's all I heard.
He didn't tell you that it was with his toothbrush.
Oh, this show's gone down.
Wow, this show went to the gutter.
Out of control.
Don't we have something else to talk about?
Motorcycles, right?
It is going to be about motorcycles. And people sit on motorcycles and people's asses get shaved. So I think they're related. You know, it's the 5 degrees of separation type thing. I do want to mention that in the second half hour, this is an hour show now, in the second half of the show, we are going to talk about one of the things I want to talk about, which is who killed Mark Marquez. We're going to talk about that. So that's a big story. You,
you know, I thought it was going to be where in the world is Mark Marquez.
I know where he is. But it's like he's taking a spectator's role. But we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we should, because I have an interesting theory too.
Okay, so we'll talk about that. It's not going to be the Jack Hookers, is it again?
No. This one's actually almost believable.
Okay.
This is one of those rumors, like the whole British Superbike is looking to buy AMA Pro Road Racing rumors. Okay. This one could actually be believable.
Okay, we're gonna talk about that. We're gonna talk about how Andre Dovizioso kept me from losing too many points to Warren this weekend.
I am not picking that man again. He has zeroed me twice now.
We'll do that. And we also are going to have a little fun with our good friend and supporter, Martin, who actually did a great impression of Phil this weekend. Oh. And we're going to do that, too, in the second half hour of the show. So you don't want to miss that. So you definitely want to stick around for that. This week, Warren is going to be doing all the news, and I might actually throw a story in Warren if there's some extra time, but otherwise I won't, because Phil's, and it's, but it's a real short one.
That's real magnanimous of you.
Yeah, but I might not.
Wait.
I don't have to do it.
Durka, and correct me if I'm wrong, I did hear him say, Phil wants to throw something in, but it's a real short one, right?
Are you picking on me a lot? I was going to say, you do hear that a lot.
Usually the
truth came out, he was the one at your Indian rain dance.
It could be. So, I know one of you was.
So, but in any case, it doesn't have to happen. I just kind of mentioned that.
Ken?
I was being polite.
Ken, yes. Nice dress shirt.
Oh, thank you, Phil. And yours? And yours too.
Yeah, no, I know. I looked over and I'm like, oh, damn it.
Actually,
I'm going to have to go out of my way not to worry these things, I guess.
We are being sponsored by Spike.
Spike?
Yes, because all businesses that go out of business, they advertise on the Doghouse. Because it's free. So Warren will be doing the news, and he'll kick that off on the other side of this break. So I think without further ado, even though we're a little bit early, we'll go ahead and probably going to run out to a break right now. When we come back,
I'll probably change my
Warren
shirt.
Warren, are you going to do the story about the new BMW that Phil sent?
I'm not doing it this time because I'm going to do an update to the Waco shooting. So
I'll
give you a bunch of factoids that have come out recently.
Right. So we'll do that, and then we'll let you just take control of things. That's it. I will just sit back here and make fun of you.
In control.
I will sit back here and make fun of you. Because
that'll get us the most views.
Well, I'm gonna do more of it today. We're gonna make it a practice. All right, folks, so stick around. We'll be right back.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Doghouse, where men are men and Phil is Phil.
I was gonna say, and the moose run scared.
Well, that would be in Montana.
That part. Oh, I'm glad I wasn't on camera. I'm like cleaning eye goobers out.
Well, I'm going to talk about the.
Can I interrupt you for a second? I'm sorry
because
I
just have.
I'm sorry, I already did. But you definitely said that men are men in here, as opposed to Bruce Jenner, who's now getting a lot of play for his complete new body and everything. Which I think that's all. I know it's got nothing to do with motorcycles, but I can't help it because he said that. Have you seen the stuff that's been going on?
Yeah, no, I saw the picture of Bruce Jenner, and I was like, wow, that's kind of weird. Because, you know, I mean, he was like the epitome of a man's man when I was a kid, man. He was
decathlete. First gold medal decathlete for the U.S. in a long time.
You know, and I mean, he was like, man, everybody wants to be Bruce Jenner. Oh, well, we wrong.
Yeah.
No, glad I'm not.
You know? It's just amazingly scary what they can do with plastic surgery because the change in him in a matter of a few weeks.
In other words, he turned you off.
Oh, God, no.
Airbrushing does wonders.
I think they did a hell of an airbrushing job. I think that's, you're right. I think you hit right on that. Got nothing to do with motorcycles, but I'm sorry.
Well, I'll take that as a segue right into the first topic of the evening.
You're going to talk about transgendered motorcycles?
No, I'm going to talk about the shooting in Waco.
Why?
Well, there's just a lot of interesting stuff have popped out about
something
that.
Something new? Is there new stuff?
Probably not.
Not really new, but also not really known as well, because there's not been a lot of reporting on the Waco shooting. You don't really see it on CNN. You don't see it on Fox. You don't see it on any of the major American newscasts.
Not after the initial... After the initial story,
after the first couple days, it just basically disappeared.
Right.
And so I've been scouring the internets and all the weird places around there. And I've discounted all the conspiracy stuff. Listen. And just tried to hunt down what appeared to be factoids that I could determine from looking at multiple sites and reading multiple stories. And most of the stuff I've seen have come from the local Texas Waco and surrounding territory newspapers and television stations.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So some of the stuff is that, again, no video has been released. So we're at almost 3 weeks after this event's occurred. There was a security system.
You're not going to see that, though.
Oh, no, really? Just about any other time you see it, the video comes out. You're so wrong on that. No, I'm not.
Look at how long it took them to release the Tony Stewart video. It was 4 or 5 months after that kid ran in front of his sprint car.
Let's put it this way. I'm sure we won't see any video until they get done with the charging of everybody. Because they arrested all these people. And they've all been charged. But they're not. A lot of them are going to end up not being charged. I'm going to get to that. Okay.
But anyway, there's two. And it turns out there was a second video. So you had the original one that came from the Twin Peaks security system. And then across the parking lot at the Don Carlos restaurant, they had a video surveillance system that recorded all the stuff that occurred in the parking lot. Now, supposedly, the AP people, reporters, have seen the one from Twin Peaks. And they said that, you know, you see one guy with a gun on the patio for a few seconds, and then all you see the rest of the time is people running around trying to hide.
Well, that happens when gunfire starts.
Yeah.
Right?
It doesn't matter where it does happen.
That's right.
So that was one curiosity, is that nothing's leaked out on any videos. A lot of other places you get leaks and you get all kinds of other stuff going on.
Yeah, but
and you see the stuff.
You're not in this kind of thing.
Okay, go ahead, Phil.
You just don't in this kind of thing because the video has already been picked up by federal officials. They went in. The first thing they did is they went in there. They confiscated that stuff. They took the local cops right out of the mix.
All right. One of the next factoid was that this was an actual Council of Clubs and Independents meeting, and they had an agenda and everything. Now, it seems like that the Bandidos and the Cossacks had alternative motives for showing up in the numbers, and that was to cause issues.
Yeah, it was on the agenda, because I think the agenda said they call the meeting to order, you know, they talk about, you know, cross-club stuff, item number 3, start shooting, number 4.
Yeah. I think that was
number 4, break out the clubs.
Yeah. Actually, it was number 5 on the list.
Okay.
One of the things was that they were going to go over the bills that they had pending in the Texas legislature, because 3 of the people who were arrested were the ones who wrote the bills and were shepherding them through all the legislatural procedures. They're going through all the committees and getting them.
Some of these people that were involved in the meeting were actual Texas legislators?
No, they were the lobbyists for the motorcycle folks to go up there and were the ones pushing the bills through the committees and everything.
Okay, that just so sours me on the whole 1%er club thing now. Because if a 1%er club's hiring
lobbyists,
These aren't all one percenters.
Old 1%. Some of the, wait a minute. The Banditos are not one percenters.
I said not all of the ones there were.
Okay, but if you're a 1% club in the old days, the way you do it is you go find a legislator and you threaten to kill them and all their family if they don't do what you want.
I mean, that's America.
That's America.
I grew up in an area where if you wanted a law passed, you talked to the local politician and he showed you the off-the-records bill of what it would cost you to get said law. Right. You want a stoplight in your neighborhood, it's an $800 donation.
Yeah. Here's your menu.
Yeah. Anyway, the fact that 1% clubs now have lobbyists is
three of these people that were arrested and are still in jail, from what I can tell, weren't 1% club affiliates. They were there to do the legislative actions and talk about what's going on there.
They were like the lobbyists.
Yes, not for the banditos Cossacks, though.
Lobbyists are bad. Listen, they were getting arrested because all we've heard the last 10 years is how bad lobbyists are. So the federal government's like, oh, we got these three.
Along the same line, the city of Waco, in the middle of last week, passed a proclamation for motorcycle safety, which happened to be sponsored by Sandra Lynch, who had to accept the proclamation in absentia because she was one of the 170 arrested.
Okay. So, and that means what?
I'm just saying, this is just factoids. Some of them are going to stir you up, and some of them aren't. She's supposedly not a 1%er.
I guess what I'm saying here is I don't even care anymore. You know what? Bad things happen. You put groups of people together that hate each other. Bad things happen. If you get stuck in the middle of it, usually bad things happen to you, too.
Wait, Phil.
Come to my family reunion, for Christ's sake. You can spend six months in jail from that.
Come on now. Hate's such a strong word.
Strongly dislike.
Strongly dislike. Much better.
Strongly dislike. I'm sorry. I did say hate. Yes. I apologize. Yes. Nobody hates anybody. We all love
each
other.
Yeah, I'm just at a point now where
that lady, I had to accept it in jail. Well, you know what's stupid? Pay attention. Okay, I am not a club member biker. All right, I've never been in a motorcycle club. Not a 1% club, not a riding club, not a social club, not any of those kind of clubs. And I'm smart enough to know that when two large groups of bike clubs that strongly dislike each other show up, to get the hell out of there.
Well, part of the problem with this, from what I can tell, is that even if I was one of the people there and I saw what was happening and wanted to get out of, you know, here comes a bunch of banditos and I already see 100 Cossacks in the area. Okay, it's time to leave. There wasn't time to leave. I mean, this stuff's occurred almost as soon as the banditos rolled into the parking lot and a couple of the Cossacks accosted some of the bandito leaders when they were trying to park, and that's what set it all off. So
that's allegedly.
Who were allegedly? But these were these again.
It's not really alleged because that's what the police were saying. Allegedly.
Thank you.
But even if you wanted to leave, you probably couldn't have by this time.
Wait a minute. Were any black people shot?
No.
Then you'd be telling the truth.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Because we're already racist on iTunes.
That's right. Go ahead.
Another factoid was that the police initially put out that over 1,000 weapons had been confiscated as part of this. Well, they downgraded that to just a little bit under 400.
So that's like still over to a guy.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Now,
yeah.
If you went to my hometown, nearest Walmart, in November during hunting season, and you roped off the same size parking area, you'd probably get over 400 weapons there, too.
That's a fair point.
Here's what I am saying, though, and I don't know the laws in Texas, okay?
I'm not positive, but I think they have open carry.
They just got that. That's not the law I'm concerned about.
I know that, I believe in Virginia, and there are a couple people here with Virginia pistol licenses at least guns. I believe you're not allowed to take your firearm into a place that serves alcoholic beverages.
Wrong.
You're not allowed to sit at the bar area.
You're not allowed to consume alcohol.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can carry into a bar.
You can. Not. You don't want to use it in the bar. As long as you don't consume alcohol while you're in the bar, you can. Okay. Have your pistol out in open carry.
Right.
Or even concealed carry now.
But the thing is that it was three these were all 1% clubs that were having this meeting.
No, they were not. And I'm going to get to that in a minute.
Okay, yeah. I want to hear this.
Okay. There was 170 people arrested. Out of the ones 170, 115 had no criminal records.
That doesn't
they do
mean
now.
They do now.
Ding, ding, ding. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
How does that not make you a member of a 1% club?
That doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Well, you don't have a criminal record, you don't have a criminal record.
No, that's not what makes you a 1% club. Okay.
Not out of the nine people.
You know what
gives
you a criminal record? Getting caught.
Out of nine people killed, four had no criminal records.
Doesn't make you not a member of a 1% club.
All of them except one apparently had either a link to the Bandidos or to the Cossacks.
Okay. A link?
Of some type. They either wore, had the patches or something.
And the,
but they had
and the
one
last
guy,
one does have a link now because he was shot at one of their
events. One of their events.
One of their events.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was, that last guy was 65-year-old Jesus Rodriguez. And his family has been very adamant that he was not affiliated with either of the two groups.
Well, we know there were other people at the restaurant that were not members of 1% clubs, but the whole point of this meeting, a 1% club is not meeting with your garden variety club. That's not what this meeting was about.
No. Well, I'm not arguing that.
Okay.
I'm just saying there was other stuff going on besides the 1% activity.
Yeah, well,
it was
a public restaurant, right? So, I mean, people are going
to
be there, but...
Well, no, I mean, it was a club council meeting.
And of 1% clubs or their affiliates.
No.
And independents.
And independents. It was just a general area
why,
club council
Why were
meeting.
The independents there?
Not independents, but other clubs.
It was the...
It's the regional coalition of club meetings. They have them in Fredericksburg and Winchester and all places around here. And this, sometimes 1% clubs
And here's
show
a
up.
List of some of the clubs that were there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, of course you had the Bandidos and their associate club, the Vaqueros, the Cossacks and the Scimitars, but you also had the Leathernecks, which is a Marine Corps-based club, not known to be a 1% club.
Were they there at the event, or were they actually part?
They're probably part of the coalition.
They were part of the coalition of clubs, and they were arrested.
Mm-hmm.
You had members of the Veterans MC.
Definitely 1%.
Mm.
Those things are 1%. You know how many veterans were left alive? Not many. 1%. Just my saying.
All right. Their club is not necessarily considered a 1% club, though.
Mm-hmm.
The Booze Fighters, not necessarily considered a 1%
club. Not necessarily,
club.
But there are people that will debate that.
Well.
Muslim or Booze Fighters.
They may be a 0.5% club.
The Gypsy Motorcycle Club. Now, I actually had to go hunting for them to figure out what they were. And the only reason I discovered them was they wore gold vests. And their back patch is a pickle riding a motorcycle.
Oh, so you got to be 1% to do that. You know.
If you're not, you damn sure are the toughest.
Otherwise, you're
going to
get the
club
pickle. You don't want to get the pickle.
Okay.
So
that's going to get us hate mail.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Well, I determined they weren't a 1% club. You had the Vice Grip Club.
Definitely 1%. Anybody put the
anything,
Vice Grip?
Anybody you can anything you can buy in Home Depot.
That's right. Makes you 1%. Definitely.
Yeah. This bunch of guys are all about building and riding pre 1970 Harleys.
Oh, that actually sounds like a cool group of guys.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, they spread a lot of oil around the country.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Now the three that were there, they were arrested, and I got no indication that they were 1%ers. They were three. The three were arrested. They have bonded out. One of the few. There's only been 12 people who bonded out so far, and they were one of the few that have.
Well, hell, they can have their meeting in prison. That means
right. They can have it at lunchtime.
Right. Yeah.
And they got. I think their bond was reduced to $25,000, and they had a lot of stipulations they had to meet, like wearing an ankle bracelet and not being inside the county and that kind of stuff.
So that you go have breakfast at the wrong place, you can end up with an ankle bracelet.
Yep.
Cool.
The NAM Knights. Another group of not known to be 1%ers. They were arrested as well.
About 1% of those guys are still alive from NAM, but anyway,
yep,
okay.
And then there was two groups that I saw several patches, but I just could not find them anywhere. One, it looked like a red devil's head.
Oh, no, not the Laughing Devils.
No, not exactly. That's the first thing I thought of when I saw it, but it wasn't the Laughing Devils. And another group that had a green skull inside a bunch of lightning bolts. And there were several of those guys, and I've never seen that one, and I couldn't find any other references to them.
Those would be that. Those would be the lightning skulls.
Don't know if they're 1%, though.
He made that up.
Yeah, just made that up.
He just made that up.
I know.
I think they're 3%.
So
okay, go ahead.
So, again, does any of that matter in the grand scheme? I mean, they all got arrested because 9 people got killed at a restaurant on a Sunday afternoon, and they were part of the group that caused that. Not that they were part of the club, but it was
their
club.
That's not the way American law is supposed to work.
Yes, it is.
No, no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
If you're in the area...
They weren't in the area.
No, even though the Cossacks and the and I'm 100% correct on this.
No, you're not.
I am. Even if I'm wearing a Cossacks or a Bandito's vest, and I'm not directly involved with the shooting that occurs, I'm not guilty of anything.
No, because the event was not a Cossacks or a Bandito's event. It was the Coalition of Clubs. So if you were there for that, they're going to arrest you. Because that is the sanctioning body that took care of that.
Most of the people who got arrested.
Answer my question. That's what happened.
They just rounded up everybody.
Right. Because everybody was there for the club meeting. No.
Yes. If I was there,
I would have expected to be arrested too.
Oh, wait. Why did they arrest the people at the Juan Carlos restaurant? They were within 100
feet. None of them had a green card.
Some of them were closer.
Okay, I'm going
to. Some of them are closer to the action.
I'm going
to
settle this right now because it really is time for us to take a break. We're running a little bit long. But we come back. Warren's going to tell us about what you can do to get your club up to a 1% level. you don't want to miss that. So that's coming up on the other side of this break. So stick around, folks, because we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Doghouse. We're going to talk a little racing. We had a whole bunch of racing.
Can we talk a lot of racing?
We're going to talk a lot of racing.
Okay.
You know what? We're going to talk a lot. Because we have Flat Track. We had Moto America. We had...
Motocross.
And we had MotoGP. We had a lot of motos.
Mm-hmm.
Just a ton of motos.
Do you know that there is actually a little bit of banking on some of the Flat Tracks?
Yes.
That's very confusing.
I know.
Well, I'm going to say that.
And a couple of the Flat Track races, there's jumps and left-hand turns and right-hand turns.
Right.
So it's definitely not all flat
track. Right.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Mm. It gets a little confusing. So they were at the Sacramento Mile.
Because the Springfield Mile was done a week ago.
That's right.
Yeah.
So they were at the Sacramento Mile. And once again, Skip's brother Troy Bayless, did not make the main event. I don't know if that's his brother, but they're probably related.
Well, if Skip was out there, he'd be doing a lot better.
I think so.
Yeah.
Because, surprisingly, I'm kind of really shocked that Troy Bayless hasn't made a final. I just am.
I'm not.
I don't know. I mean...
When was the last time that Skip Bayless won an event?
I don't know. He doesn't even win his own down in Australia. So, all right, that's a valid point. But I just was a little shocked. Anyways, the Flat Track was at Sacramento. Good race. I don't know if you guys got to catch it. I watched it on FansChoice.tv, I believe. Yep.
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't get to see the Flat Track at all.
It's available on demand on there.
Yeah, it's available on demand there, so that's always nice. Like I said, it's the only thing DMG does good about two-wheel racing.
That's because it's not actually DMG. They hired somebody to do it.
Yeah, I know.
If DMG did it, it would cost a lot of money, and it would make no sense.
Yeah, that's true.
And you wouldn't be able to see it.
But Brian Smith won for the 5th year in a row at Sacramento, which is amazing.
That's called owning the track.
Yeah, he owns that track, and it was on a last lap pass.
Wow.
I know they race a couple mile tracks, but Sacramento, when you're watching it, just seems so much bigger than the other tracks.
Okay.
You know, and they're running around, and there was a group of 3 or 4 guys that spent the whole time in the beginning. Sometimes it would get to 5 guys. One guy kind of lost it a little on a turn, pushed out wide, and it dropped. But 4 guys, which included Robinson, Mies, Baker, sometimes Cool Breath, and...
Cool Beth.
I like Cool Breath better.
He did it again.
And Miller, who was a local guy. And they would all trade the lead, and you could be going down the backstretch because drafting there is important, and the Kawasaki got some power. And you'd go in and you'd be like third, and then all of a sudden it'd be three wide just before the turn. He'd come in the turn, and the guy who was in fourth would be leading. The guy in first would be in third, and I mean, it was all over the place.
Drafting makes a huge difference.
It does.
With those bikes, because those bikes have zero aerodynamics.
Yeah.
So if you can get tucked behind somebody, you don't have to push all that air out of the way. It makes a big difference.
And they were just trading. There were a lot of lead changes. It was it was some good racing. Points wise, my boy Cool Breath. I'm gonna start calling him Cool Breeze. Cool Breeze is totally
just
in the lead.
Let's call him Altoids.
Altoids. All right, I got this. Mies is in second in points. Then Robinson, Halbert, Smith, and Brad the Bullet is right there around sixth place. But it was some good racing. They don't race for a couple weeks now. I think it's like 4 weeks before their next race. It's 3 weeks because they race. The next time they race, I believe, is Hagerstown.
Oh, okay.
June 20th, our local flat track event. We might have to sneak up to that.
Can we get media credentials?
I don't know.
I think we tried before, and they said
no. That was that amateur thing. I don't know if we ever put in for credentials. Well, we'll try. Who cares?
Okay.
Then Moto America was in Saugee, Wisconsin.
Because they bring the weather with them.
Right, because obviously, you know.
It only travels where we're not.
Right. You know, I mean, they really should write us a check and pay our expenses so that we bring sunshine.
At a minimum.
Yeah.
Hookers would work, too.
Yeah. You know what I would.
One or the other?
No.
Or a good hamburger.
No.
First, you
pay our expenses. Hookers are optional.
Yeah, hookers are optional. But not check hookers, because I don't want it to take forever to get there.
Hookers are just a way to show that you care.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Five Guys is just bonus?
Well, that's just extra meat after the hookers.
That's exactly right.
So they were there at Road America, which is a great track. A lot of the riders seem to like it.
Pretty countryside there in Elkhart, Wisconsin. Yeah. Nice area.
But they did get the rain and the wet. And
it was
the nasty.
Very wet.
Yeah.
And the wind and all that other good stuff that comes with that. Super sport racing. If we could pick super sport in the pool, I'd be doing okay. Because Heron pulled a 1 and a 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's doing well.
We don't mention him a lot, but Thomas Puerta is having a pretty good season.
Tomas Puerta.
He's having a pretty good season, and we never really mention him. And maybe we'll have to track him down at Barber.
Okay.
Because we don't ever seem to mention him. J.D. Beach won the second race and came in, like, I think it was like fifth in the first race.
And I think he's leading the points, too.
Well, him and Heron are tied now.
They're now tied, okay.
Yeah, because Heron had the 1 and 2, a first and a second, so they're tied at 140 points.
Mm.
So that's cool. I'd like to see Josh do well. But I'm also a J.D. Beach fan because to me, J.D. Beach is just one of them guys where if it's got two wheels, he'll race it.
Yep.
And race it well, right.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he doesn't embarrass himself.
Right.
And Bobby Fong, he had a fifth and a sixth, but, you know, he's not really Asian.
He's not really Asian. So. No, he is Asian. He really
he is Asian.
He doesn't admit to it, but he is Asian.
Right, he doesn't look
it. I hate to tell you that when one of your parents is Filipino and Chinese, you are Asian.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe if he looked at it, he would go faster or something. But I don't know.
He's hiding it. He's in denial.
Then he'd be Egyptian.
Oh, God.
We need to put the sound effects back so I can go bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, right.
but anyways, the super sport races, I only saw the highlights of those because they didn't have the whole race put up. And I unfortunately had to do prep work on the truck Sunday because the Idaho pulley pulled, and we wouldn't be going to Barber if that bad boy blew up on the road.
I was
gonna
say, thank God that happened now.
Yeah, I was like, whoo, dodged a bullet.
Big bullet.
Then the superbike races, which were both on Sundays,
Superstock 1000.
I'm sorry, yes, both of them raced. Race one, Bouvier won because Josh Hayes took a spill.
Mm-hmm.
Got himself back up to, I believe, seventh, but it took a spell, and pretty much right now it seems like the only way you beat Josh Hayes is if he beats Josh Hayes.
I think that's true.
So in the first race, Bouvier, Hayden, and Lewis, who's another guy who we probably should track down while we're out there because we don't really give him a lot of talk either.
Are we talking Jake Lewis?
Yeah, Jake Lewis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we should. You're right. We don't.
We're going to make a good point. We're going to make a good point because he's actually having a pretty good season.
Right.
You know, and it was soggy, and then the second race looked even wetter than the first
race. Yeah, I was going to say, it was well beyond soggy.
It was definitely soggy.
Downpour, more like it.
Yeah, and they
I was surprised they even would run it in those conditions. I mean,
well, they're not NASCAR. These are men.
Yeah, that's right. These are men.
This is pretty bad. This is probably the worst of all the tracks they've been running with the rain.
If they red flag a motorcycle race in the rain, it's because of a problem with the track more than it is with the racers.
Yeah.
You know. But it looked like part of the track was underwater at times.
Yeah, but that's not a big problem. Yeah. The bigger problem is the lightning and like oil mixing in with the water.
And I'll be totally honest with you. So a lot of the tracks they could care less about whether you're out there running on the track when it's raining. They're worried about you going off the track when it's raining because they don't want you tearing up all the turf.
Yeah, the turf, the wall.
So if they have runoff, they're going to be less concerned about it. If they don't, a lot of these tracks don't. They don't, you know, really want to see you tear up the grass, so... And motorcycles flipping in the grass, yeah, it pretty much destroys it. So
yeah, again, I was surprised they ran it the second one.
No, that. I'm used to that. And motorcycle racing, you don't let the weather slow you down. That's for these.
That's for these guys who claim they're the 50 best drivers in the world.
Exactly. Yep.
You know, Ken and I a few years ago went to a Daytona 500 party, and it was the year where they had the 72 hours of Daytona because they finished on like Tuesday night or whatever.
That's right. That wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, and everybody was sitting there and they were all like, "When's the race going to be on?" And Ken and I are watching World Superbike. And I think where were they? Phillip Isle?
No, they were.
Phillip Isle. Was it starting their season? Yes.
Yeah, I think you could be right. Yeah.
And it was monsooning and they're shooting these big rooster tails off. Yeah. And we're like, look, men race.
That's right. You know?
Yeah. So it was kind of funny. But Hayes came out in the second race and he laid it down and got himself back out in front. Bouvier came in second. And by far, those are the two class acts of the.
Well, it's no big surprise. I mean, change the series, the story doesn't change much.
No, it doesn't.
Nobody's... Although Roger Hayden's doing pretty good. I mean, he's doing good. But
I just don't think he has the bike.
No, he doesn't. I mean, nobody's got the bike to beat two Graves Yamahas right now.
Yeah,
you know, and it doesn't hurt that they have two pretty talented riders as well.
Yeah, that never hurt.
Even though one of them didn't talk to us in Virginia.
Well, you know, maybe you should try being nicer.
I'm gonna try next time. You wrecked your bike.
Yeah, I can just see.
I bet
that hurt. I bet Ken's first word is going to be at Barber to Josh Hayes. It's probably going to be something like, "Whoo, did that wreck at Motor America hurt? What's seventh place like?"
My first comment is going to be, "Hey, Josh, you stay on today?"
Yeah, see, and that's why we get no love from there, you know.
Oh, the other racers love that though.
Yeah, they kind of do. but that wrapped that up. And then, like I said, in 2 weeks they're going to be at Barber Motorsports Park, and we will be there. Yeah. I didn't think about that.
Where are we going?
Where are we going? Well, I was going to say Birmingham,
which is where Barber.
Which is where it is. But that's not the name of the track.
Right.
So definitely, you know, check it out.
This may be the last year for Barber Racetrack. Aren't they trying to sell it?
Well, it's not. I guarantee it's not going anywhere because they have probably.
No, rename.
I think you're talking Miller.
Yeah,
Miller Motorsports Park.
I am. Yes, you are. Yes. It is Miller.
And the county has announced they want to keep it open.
Right, but it's probably going to get a new name.
Yeah.
Anyway,
the Miller family isn't going to run anymore.
Right. Exactly.
Barber probably isn't going to change.
Yeah, you're right. I mean,
even if the next person buys it, they'll probably keep it Barber.
Oh yeah, I think so.
I would. It'd be foolish not to. Then we had MotoGP in Italy.
Yeah.
Magello.
Do we want to take a break?
We did. Yeah, I think probably.
Yeah, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk some MotoGP in Italy.
Mugello. And some motocross.
Mugello.
The
home of Ducati.
The home of Ducati. And we got to talk motocross. So we'll come back. We'll talk motocross. Then we'll talk Mugello.
Okay.
All right.
We'll be right back. Right, Phil?
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Is that the same music we heard on the last break?
It could be.
Could be. We'll have to work on that. I must have screwed.
I wasn't keeping track of it, but
it just sounded like it. Cause I was like, wait, I just heard that song.
It sounds like the same music that we had in that break last week.
No, I meant last break. not last week.
It
last
probably
break.
Sounds like the music that Eli Tomac heard when he went headfirst into the rut.
No, he heard stuff that sounded like a cartoon. Like
I don't think
tweet 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 tweet. Yeah, birds and stars going around.
Right, he saw a lot of stars. I know that
because that dude Eli Tomac might be broken. But let's talk 250s first. Jeremy Martin again, just
look good.
Kicking ass in the outdoor season. Zach Osborne had a pretty good weekend.
Which is Ozzy's son, right?
Yeah, it's Ozzy's son. Yeah. Ozzy's other son. Mm-hmm. And Adam Ciancerulo's finally starting maybe to get back a little healthier because he was looking good this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was happy to see that. As you know,
they didn't tangle with anybody this week.
Yeah, he avoided the crashes. Mm-hmm. Marvin Musquin had a really crappy and kept falling down in race one.
Yeah.
There was a lot. I think the track was probably the roughest of the ones they've been to so far.
It was breaking apart easily. So when they would hit it, there was no consistency to it. Lap after lap, it just didn't seem. The consistency was it was right. Crappy.
Yes. I agree.
You know, so he spent a lot of time chewing some dirt on.
I didn't see the first moto because I couldn't find it on TV and I didn't have a chance to run down.
Well, I just want to let you know.
He broke his collar.
Yeah, just so you know, in the future, for future reference and also for our listeners and viewers out there, that if you actually go to, you search Lucas Motocross, it'll take you to the Pro Motocross website where they have all the races on demand.
Yeah.
All of them.
So you
all can always watch them online.
You can watch both the highlights, or if you don't have time to watch the whole races, or you can watch the entire races. They have them on there.
Yeah, and they're pretty quick about putting them up.
Yeah, right. I watched the second moto, and it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were kind of all it was rough, and then the track just seemed to keep getting worse, and the 450 guys, by the time they hit it each day. It was even worse, you know.
Yeah, but one thing I do notice that, I mean, that's pretty common. I mean, when you get the outdoor season, the tracks get torn up pretty bad.
Yeah, but this one
they
rut up and it's more than just
the ruts. I mean, it wasn't rut.
If it had rutted up, it wouldn't have been bad. The problem is it looked like they'd go in and when they gassed it into the ruts would break apart.
Yes.
It would crumble. It was like they didn't wet it.
Yeah, it had
been raining a lot
it's a very high altitude track. Just outside Denver. It's a very high altitude track and it's just the nature of the you know, they don't bring dirt in like they do in Supercross.
Yeah, right.
So you're gonna get different compoundings of mixtures of dirt. And that area there, it does tend to get very crumbly. So there's not much you can do about it. But having been in the position of these guys or in before, you know, I don't. That doesn't bother me as much as the ruts that you don't get. If you watch a track where you see a bunch of parallel ruts, that's a nightmare for a racer because right. You'd rather have a deep rut going into a curve than a series of individual ruts. You know,
they seem to have a series of parallel deep ruts.
Yes,
that kept falling apart.
That's the worst situation because it's. It's easier to have a single, even if it's a deep rut, to follow through, you know, right. a portion of when you get the multiple ones like that, sometimes your front and your rear of the bike don't go in the same place. They don't end up in the same rut, which is scary.
Yeah.
Which is very, very scary because the bike will take off on you, you know, in a way you don't expect. So I just think that's just kind of the nature of the beast.
It's the outdoor season.
It's the outdoor season, and that's a bit of the nature of the beast. And the guys that are better at dealing with that. And by the way, Tomac's one of the I'm very impressed. He seems to handle changing track conditions better than anybody else. Now,
in the first race that was true, and he came out.
No, I think it's true.
I think it's true in general.
Right.
He came out and he won the first race, and it looked like, and I think it was only like 12 seconds. Which
it was 14. It was 14.
Oh, yeah. And he's like, you're like, wow, that's a big win. But
that's close for him.
For him, that's like a nail biter.
Yeah.
You know, and Dungey came in second. Roczen had a third. And those guys were kind of mixing it up and, you know, and stuff. And a lot of guys were going down. And then in the second race, I mean, the big news of the weekend is in the second race, Tomac took a tumble and a half.
Yeah.
Up hurt, holding his hand and his arm.
And they took his boot off. But, what I heard earlier today was, and this is what I thought initially had happened because I've done this myself, he looked to me like he separated his shoulder when he hit. Because the way his shoulder dangled a little bit when he got up.
You know, that's actually surprised me because he seemed like he was holding his wrist. That was the thing that I noticed.
When I've done it, I was supporting
I realize that, but that was my first thought that he had broken his wrist.
But the way he was holding his shoulder, but it turns out today one of the reports was that he did separate his shoulder. And they're expecting him to be back next week. That's going to be a hell of a thing because that son of a bitch is going to be sore for weeks.
No,
and
he won't be sore at all because they get these things called painkiller injections before the race.
Cortisone shots.
That's right. Yeah. He's not going to be feeling. And he can be getting something a whole lot stronger than cortisone.
Now, Monday next week, he's going to be sore.
Yes.
Well, from my personal experience, once you separate it, it gets easier to separate.
That is true.
And
that
once you separate it three times, it'll pop out by itself anytime it wants to.
Yeah, that's a little scary. But he's young and flexible, and he probably...
He's not that young, though.
Yeah, he's young.
Isn't he like 30?
Okay, that would be young.
That's young for us, but for a motocross guy, I mean, he's practically a grandfather.
That's still... Chad Reed's what, 37?
Chad Reed's is ancient. I mean, we talk about Chad Reed, we call him the old man.
Well, let's put it this way. He may be older, getting a little long in the tooth, as they say in motocross, but the thing is, 30-year-old guys... in good physical shape, heal a lot better than older guys. Okay, all right. Just leave it at that.
Yeah. So, anyways,
his wreck allowed Roczen to get around him and take the first place position, and then Dungey
ate him
was right behind him, and then Roczen spilt his bike twice, which allowed Dungey to get around.
Yeah.
Now, I did hear after the in the post race interviews where Roczen said he had a front tire go flat, and that's why he kept spilling the bike.
Right, yeah.
Well, it made sense, but I couldn't tell it from the footage that that's what was happening, but that's what he was claiming.
Yeah, I think that's probably... I find it really hard to believe that he's going to come out and say that because there'd be a whole lot of evidence whether it was true or not when the bike came off the track.
Right.
So I don't think he wanted to look like a total idiot afterwards.
No. But that allowed Dungey to get around him, and now he's in the points lead.
Yeah, Mr. Consistency... Mm-hmm. He's again proving you don't have to win every race to end up in the points lead now.
Well, it helps when the guy that you're competing with
33rd.
Scores no points, right?
Because Zippy.
Right.
He does a Martin in the pool.
If he's going to be counting on that, I would not count on Ken Roczen wrecking very often because he doesn't. I mean, not Ken Roczen, I mean Tomac.
Yeah, I know. Tomac's another guy.
And the other guy that they need to worry about, they got to start worrying about Roczen. Roczen's getting better every week.
Yeah, he's getting better every week. And,
For somebody who says he's not at 100%, he looks
pretty damn good.
He looks like he's 100%.
And I believe he's not 100%. That just tells you how good. If you watched him last year, he was dominant in the outdoor season last year.
He's that good. It's just getting him healthy and he's adjusting to a new bike and stuff like that. So, but that kind of where are they next?
Did you just look at the schedule?
No, I looked for World Superbike. I think they're in Tennessee next, right?
I don't know.
Isn't it Blunton or whatever it is?
Should I go look?
No, that's why Dirk is here.
That's why we have a producer. He's going to run out to the hallway.
He's supposed to be in charge. Oh, you know what? I can't tell you. Don't bother because I'm pretty sure that calendar is wrong because they changed the calendar after I made that.
Oh.
And you know what? Here, as I pull up the schedule for MotoGP, is not going to tell me the schedule for that. So I'm just going to say I'm a donk.
Right.
Thunder Valley, Tennessee is next. I was right.
Okay.
June 6th. So is that this weekend? Yes, that's this weekend. Okay. I'm not good with math.
Right. And I don't know what's going on next week and the fall weekend after that because we won't get to see anything.
Why not? They don't have TVs in Alabama?
What are we going to catch on TV when we're at the track?
The interwebs when we get back to the hotel? They don't have the internet in Alabama?
Yeah, you guys can snuggle on the bed and watch Ken's tablet.
We might be able to.
You can hold your tablet between you two if you watch it.
Upside down?
No, it's only if the free hookers arrive.
Yeah,
it's the only way there's going to be snuggling going on.
There will be snuggling going on.
That's the only way.
Yeah.
That just kind of bothers me on several different levels, but okay.
It should. Don't worry, we'll put it up on Periscope for you, Warren, so you can watch it. How's that? I will do that for you.
Ain't no way I'm periscoping me with a free hooker. I'm sorry.
Oh, not you, me. Me.
Sorry, I draw the line at giving divorce aid to my wife.
Yeah,
they
but
do a good enough job on their
save
own.
It. If she can't save it, you're good to go. then that's like teasing her and be like,
yeah, wow, there's only 1,500 witnesses. Great.
you know. Yeah, but they will only be there for like 3 seconds.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't own much, but I'd rather keep a little more than 50% of it.
You don't have nothing worth owning.
That's true.
So the other racing that happened this weekend was MotoGP in Mugello.
Mugello.
And Moto2, obviously Moto2 and Moto3 raced there too. Moto3 had Miguel Oliveira. Finally, somebody beat Danny Kent.
Yeah.
Like, actually on the track racing, beating him.
That's because Danny Kent stopped and had a smoke in the middle of the race.
That is probably
true. And that
true.
Screwed him up. He didn't, you know.
he's like, my family made cigarettes. So
that's right, exactly.
But that was about the Moto3 race. It was actually pretty good this week. Nobody walked away with the lead. Mm-hmm. Moto2, Ken's favorite guy, who I'm a little confused why his real name is Esteve Rabat. We call him Tito Rabat, and I call him Chico Rabat, and sometimes Kickstart Rabat. Right. But now I've also met a Spanish guy who everybody calls him Tito, and his first name's Robert. So I think if you're Spanish, everybody calls you Tito.
Apparently.
I'm just assuming
apparently.
That.
And everybody that I've ever met that they call Tito, their name is nothing like Tito.
Right. It's never like Titonio or anything like right, that. Right. Or Titalonia. I don't
Titalonia.
Know. Titalonia. Titalonia.
It's like an ass. None of that stuff.
So the Moto 2 race, you know, again, I just think Moto 2 is going to be each weekend who's better.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you one thing about Moto 2. Moto 2, it's almost useless to watch practice and qualify.
It is. It really is.
You know?
Well, wasn't Rabat the fastest in.
Yeah, I mean, Rabat broke track records and all
this time.
This time
it would have made some sense to watch.
No, because actually, Sam Lowes, I believe, won the pole in Moto 2. Isn't that correct?
Oh, no. Chico Rabat?
No, I think Sam Lowes did, and Chico was second place, I thought.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, Sam Lowes won the year.
Oh, that's right. He was fastest in practice.
Right. And Zarco had terrible practice in qualifying, way down, and he battled for the win.
Yeah.
So.
I agree. It's not.
Well, especially in Moto 2.
Yeah, Moto 2 didn't seem to be. Like, again, it's another week that's gone by in Moto 2, and I still don't feel comfortable saying this is the person who I think is going to be dominating.
Oh, I do.
You think Rabat? You think he's back?
No.
Zarco?
I think Zarco is going to win the championship. I'll make that prediction right now. He's done better consistently than anybody else in there. He's capable of winning any weekend, and Rabat can win, but it's a crapshoot with him this year. I don't know if it's him or the bike or hunger type thing, but
won this weekend. That was good because
that was his only win so far this season. Yeah,
but
he's had
I picked him in the pool, so he did okay this week.
Yeah, which you needed that.
I needed that.
You did need that.
Yeah.
Because
my other guy in MotoGP,
the VCO.
Oh man!
How can you pick a Ducati? Have I not said enough bad things about Ducati?
You could have picked a Ducati. You just picked the wrong one.
You just picked the wrong Ducati.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Anyway. Yeah. He. Divioso disappointed me again. See, like every time I pick him, something happens to him, and this time his bike failed.
So you think he's disappointing you? Look how disappointed he is in you. He's probably sitting there. That guy stopped picking
me. Put all the pressure on me.
All the pressure. I can't handle it.
Yeah, you overpressured him.
I didn't think Lorenzo could win three in a row.
I still don't think he can win three in a row.
I watched him.
I quit watching in the middle of the race.
That's pretty good.
You gave up?
you just parked it?
Yeah, I just parked it.
Ken's like, I'm going to park it.
I'll tell you why. Here's my, again, Ken's theory of Jorge Lorenzo winning races. Mark Marquez falls off. Or Mark Marquez.
Rossi qualifies lousy.
And he's so fast.
And Danny Pedrosa slows down at the end of the race like he always does. That's the
Rossi
recipe.
Rossi was so fast. Somebody got to grab that little pencil neck dude with his big ears and say, learn how to qualify.
Yeah, bad qualifying. But his qualifying was not nearly as bad as Mark Marquez's, who set a record.
Did he qualify? Because I didn't see him in the second round.
He set a record because I understand that HRC came into the HRC management came into the pits area and asked if somehow Hiroshi Aoyama actually had gotten on the bike.
No, see, that's where my little theory comes in. I think Marquez is like, hey, I'm a two-time world champ. I'm going to let my brother double for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to go hang out, and I'm going to just check out what's going around the track. Nobody will even know. And then he's crap, he's in like 90th place.
I want to hear your theory about what's going on with Mark Marquez.
That's what it is. It's that he's letting his brother get tracked by.
His brother ride?
He's like, hey, go ahead, Alex, well, have fun.
I would say I believe that feasible, except they showed him in the pits. They showed him actually in the...
I can't tell the two of them apart.
I can. Oh, yeah, I can. I can definitely tell them apart. One just looks younger than the other one, if that's even possible.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, they both embryonic. Look like the 12.
Yeah, well, the other one looks embryonic, so...
So what's going on with the Honda motorcycles? Marquez has been rushing hard.
That's what I think. Actually, I think
it's, Moto 2. Marquez.
I started
is back.
Doing. I this is Ken's analysis. I started doing some analysis this week, and this will probably keep me from picking Marquez for a while. Marquez's entire team is intact. He's had no changes. He's got his same lead tech. He's got his same team manager. He's got all the stuff that he had last year when he won 10 in a row, right? So what could be different? Well, it's not likely that Honda isn't prepping the bike well. But it is possible. It is possible that he's...
Public appearances.
It's a bunch of different... but he did a lot of those last year, too. I mean, after he had won 4 in a row, he started getting a lot of public appearances. I actually think it's not the bike. I think some of the other teams, Ducati, clearly the GP15 bike is way better.
I think the Yamahas are way better than they were last year.
I think the Yamahas have improved over last year. And I think that Marquez is, this kind of reminds me of in Moto2. When he was in Moto2, he was racing Brattle. He wrecked a fair number of times.
Oh, yes, he did.
And he wrecked because he pushed too hard.
Yes.
That's what I mean.
Moto2 Marquez is back.
Yeah, that is kind of the Moto2 Mark Marquez, where he pushes too hard, and I think both his wreck with Rossi and his wreck this week was he just was trying too hard. And I think he was talking about the fact the bike was unsettled in qualifying, and that was the thing. And I don't know whether that's a total excuse.
I don't even know what that means. That's like when somebody drinks some wine at a wine tasting and go, it lacks conviction.
Okay.
You know, it's to me, it's just not the same. And if anybody calls me any names for knowing that,
yes,
go scratch.
Yes.
But
I think he said the steering was understated.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. You know, it was just like, you know, he said that and I'm like, it was unstable. Shut up.
Well, here's what I
don't want to hear that.
Marquez lives on his brakes. I mean, he really
does.
He does. That's his strength.
He brakes late, brakes hard.
It's hard braking. Right. He's late, and he counts on late braking to make his passes in a lot of cases. And I think when he says it's unstable, what he means is that under hard braking, the bike starts to feel less secure. And if you watch the bike, I will say that bike did appear to be moving around a lot. And I don't know if that's a bad tire choice. I kind of find it hard to think it's a bad setup because... Unless he's not giving his team the right input.
Because
they set
the
it up.
Cookers.
Yeah. The
no, so,
but, you know, I, you know,
right,
I,
right now.
You got a good point
right,
there.
Right now.
I don't remember the, you know, when I watched this weekend, his bike did look like it was chattering a lot when he came into some of the turns.
It was moving around a lot more than normal.
I don't remember seeing that last year.
No, I think his bike has always moved around. I think the difference is I think when Marquez is in the points lead and when he's, and I think he had 2 years of invincibility. I think when he moved up, he was there, and he got that, like, oh, man. I used to competitively pistol shoot, and there were times where I'd go out there, and I'd have a great match.
I must have misunderstood what you said.
Right?
You say you competitively pistol shoot?
Yes, I did. Okay. Right? And then the next week, I would go out there
know they had competition for that.
They do.
I'm glad he wasn't in the Army when I was. I put my parachute in.
That's why they changed him from white to brown to hide the yellow. But all of a sudden, you're doing something, and you're doing it so well, your head goes straight up your ass.
You think it's so easy.
And you go like, oh yeah, no big deal. And last year, his bike was just that much better than everybody else that he didn't have to push it to its full limit to win. So he had that confidence going through because he was like, this is easy. He was on the best bike, no doubt about it, last year.
Yeah.
This year, there's questions about it. It's not the fastest straightaway bike.
Should there be?
I don't know.
I think there wasn't questions
until Rossi won Qatar.
The Honda should still be the best bike out there. It's just that the Yamaha
has caught up.
And the Ducati are much closer.
Before, it's a lot easier to do something really well when there's no pressure on you. And not that the pressure was like, oh my God, I'm racing for a world championship, but the fact that if he bobbled it into a turn, he was ahead by a day and a half. You know, yeah. he could back off and take a little bit off and still win the race. Now he backs off that little bit and it's sixth place. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, but again, his practice. He doesn't even make it into Q2.
He should have been able to push. I watched him run down pit road at Texas. He should have been able to push the bike around the track.
When I saw his name on Q1 on the thing, I thought it was his brother. I really did. I thought,
well, that's where about
they give him a wild card ride. Because there's no way Marquez has never been. Since he's been in MotoGP, he's never had to run the first qualifier. He's always gone straight through to the second one. But anyways, something's not right. And right now, I think on that team right now.
I mean, Yanni Hernandez.
I think on that team right now, number one, they don't. Right. I made this comment on Facebook. When a satellite Honda qualifies higher than both factory bikes, something's very wrong. So either they're going to fix it, or I'm going to have to say that if you have to pick a Honda, you almost have to pick Danny Pedrosa, because right now Danny Pedrosa seems to be racing better than Marc Marquez.
Yeah, right now. You just have to hope Danny Pedrosa can be close enough to the lead that when he starts falling back, he's still
the question actually becomes which of the Ducati or which of the
Yamaha bikes are going to win. Who would thought we'd be sitting here at Mugello going, oh, the next race you probably should pick a Yamaha or a Ducati.
Yeah.
Not a Yamaha or a Honda.
And I think of the Ducatis right now, you'd have to take Iannone because Dovizioso's having a bad run.
Dirk is getting all frustrated.
Yeah.
We're
running a little bit long.
Right. We got a little long in the tooth. Literally just one. But before we go, we're going to talk a little bit about our doghouse. World Superbike MotoGP pool, which is unlicensed, unsanctioned, or whatever you want to say. But anyways, listen, folks, it is too late to... Well, it's not too late because you can start practice for next year. We never really mentioned that. We had a bunch... Olaf is back in the lead.
Olaf had a perfect weekend, right?
He had a perfect weekend, and he built on his lead because Hawkeye and I, who were in second and third...
Did you take 20 points off for no British Superbike reports?
You know, I should do that. Right. I should take 200 points off for that. But, you know, I had Rossi and Zarco, which blew me back. And Hawkeye, who was close to him, had Rossi and Rabat. So he just gained points. Matt B. jumped into second place all the way from, I think he was in third behind me. Richard. That was a big jump.
Yeah.
Richard is charging hard. He went from 14th to 5th this week with his double.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
14th to 5th?
That's how close the pool is.
Right. That's scary.
You know, I mean, that's scary.
We're still early.
Yeah, I thought I was doing good well because I thought Dovi looked strong at the beginning and it just blew it up. So
The worst weekend of all of us was our buddy Martin, who scored the famous Phil 0.0.
0.0.
Dave M. had another 0.0 because he just puts in, I said, qualifying's over. He goes, oops. That's not a pick, Dave M.
I thought he had defaults in.
No.
He didn't.
Dave M. put defaults in. Anybody who don't... Kristen Casey scored points on Rossi, but she never put in default for Moto2.
Oh, God.
It's like,
well, she got
on.
More points than I did.
She did get more points. No, she actually got less.
Yes. Well, in Moto2.
Yeah, but
GP,
you end up with 20... You actually pulled a little bit out on her. Ken, you jumped up from 17th to 13th.
Wow.
The Chargers, I told you, man, just be patient.
I am.
Have some good picks.
I was the one who kept saying it's early. It's still early.
You only scored 20 points.
Yeah.
It was a lot of us who had 16 or zeros and stuff like that. You know, there was a bunch of people you passed who had some zippies. A bunch of us did. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Six of us had perfect weekends. So that's
impressive.
That's a big, impressive weekend.
I got it. And definitely hats off to anybody that can pick Lorenzo, because that's going to guarantee that I have a very limited range that I can move this season.
Right. You're not.
I cannot. I will not. I will pledge. I will not pick Lorenzo this season.
Wow.
I've tried. I quit in the middle of writing his name.
I know. I think you'll sell out your convictions for a win.
Nope. Won't do it.
Won't
do it. On camera, I will not pick Lorenzo. If he wins the next 7 races in a row, on the 8th race, I won't pick him.
This is also the guy who said on the air one time that he'd never missed 8 doghouses in a row, and my 5 guys tasted really good.
There's a difference between being wrong, right, about something, and I could be wrong. Lorenzo could win every race the rest of the season. I still won't pick him.
I find that hard to believe, Tom Sykes.
We'll see.
Tom Sykes. I find that hard to believe.
I've never said that about Tom Sykes.
Anyways, I think we probably should wrap it up. World Superbike is going to be in Porto Mayo. Almost said Potty Mayo.
Potty Mayo.
Wow.
Potty Mouth.
In Potty Mouth. In Porto Mayo, which is Portugal?
Porto Mayo is Portugal. That's Portugal. Correct.
So if you're in the pool, don't forget to get your picks in. 2 weeks if you're in the area. Barber Motorsports, come by Ken and I lunch.
Birmingham, Alabama.
Alabama.
Lunch or hookers. Or both.
I have to do the STD check of Birmingham before I ask for hookers.
We've been in Danville. It can't be worse.
Yeah, that's legit, but we didn't get hookers in Danville.
That's right.
Anyways, I guess we'll see you all next week.